Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
It's time for another episode of Last Drinks, a podcast where we have conversations for the sober and the sober curious, hosted by me, Maz Compton, sober since 2015.
Hey, fam. Hi. So I'm just going to lift the lid a little bit here on the old podcasting situation. I just spent about 10 minutes tinkering around with settings and trying to figure out why my microphone wasn't working. It was really doing my head in because I had clicked all the buttons. I had made sure that all the settings were correct, that the inputs and the outputs were all aligned, that there wasn't some random mute button accidentally pressed. And it was doing my head in, and then I realized I had actually plugged the charger for my smart glasses into my computer instead of the plug for the microphone. So I guess the moral of the story is I'm still really bad at technology, even though I do a podcast. Although I've never claimed to be great at technology, let's be honest. The only thing I'm really good at is being sober. Which brings me to another episode of Last Drinks. Now, we are at the business end of the year, aren't we? Christmas is happening. It happens every year, if that's your religious belief, I guess. Some people don't have Christmas. They have Hanukkah and they do other things. But for me, it will be Christmas. It will be happening. And the reason I know that is because Mariah Carey has started being played everywhere I turn. All I want for Christmas is for her to just shut the hell up, to be honest, because that song was great in 1997 when it was released, and it was, you know, groundbreaking when commercial radio played it for the first time at this time of the year. And now I'm really over it. We need a new Christmas song. Can I campaign for that? Somebody tell someone that can write a Christmas song. I don't know. Anyway, I know that there's Christmas lists being written. I know that people have started planning, catering, and how you're going to get through time with the relatives and the school holidays, and there's a lot. And I sit in the overwhelm of pre-Christmas as an introvert, but also as somebody who has a love language of acts of service, which just really means, look, if you haven't done a deep dive into love languages, I highly recommend it. It's great to just figure out how you give out and receive love. It's kind of handy in relationships. It's also handy to understand a bit about yourself. I found it really insightful that it's a book called The Five Love Languages. It's by someone whose name does escape me, but he is a legit psychologist, and the book is 1,000 years old. Like, it's a really old one, but I feel like it stood the test of time. So one of my love languages is acts of service, which means I guess the way I show love for people is by doing stuff for them. And it's not the only way I receive love. Like, don't think if you're putting the bin out on a Monday night that all of a sudden I feel an overwhelming sense of how loved I am. Like, you know, there's acts of service and there's just like doing the stuff that needs to be done to run a functional household. But I love doing things for people. And so what I can find I do, because acts of service can kind of end up overwhelming the introverted part of my personality, and I end up overcommitting. And I, at this time of the year, can sit in a lot of overwhelm and be like, I've said yes to too much. Do I really need to do a turducken this year? Do we need to have a grazing board of desserts for the three events that I'm going to be hosting with different parts of my family over the Christmas break? Probably not. And I'm learning how to rein things in. I'm learning healthy boundaries, and I'm learning that, you know, sometimes a watermelon and halloumi salad is fine. It's suffice for an entree. It's all good. So that's where I'm at. But I understand the overwhelm of this season. And if you're also trying to navigate early sobriety, or if you're thinking to yourself, oh my God, and I'm going to be so hungover for the whole of Christmas because it's just too much and I just need a drink to get through it, I thought the conversation that I'm having on today's podcast might be a great time for you to hear about a non-alcoholic option that you could maybe sub in to your Christmas celebrations this year if you're trying to cut back or if you're having a booze break. Now, I'll be really honest, I don't dabble really with non-alcoholic drinks. It's just not been a thing that I've done, maybe because when I stopped drinking nearly 9 years ago, there were no options. The non-alcoholic businesses were not booming. People hadn't invented, alcohol-free cocktails in a can. And what the girls at VIA have done, who I chat to on the podcast today, Sarah and Kirsten, they've created this really elegant, really sophisticated line of drinks that have no alcohol in them that you can pour into a fabulous glass and feel like you're drinking something fancy and special, but it has no booze. None of those options were available to me. And so I think when I stopped, I was like, I'll just have water. And I kind of settled on that. I might have the odd kombucha. And we talk about that in the chat. But if you're looking down the barrel of Christmas and this silly season and you're like, how am I going to stay focused on this sobriety journey that I'm on? Or how can I just reduce the major anxiety that I have around all of the potential future hangovers that I am going to have because I don't know how to manage the load unless I'm drinking? Maybe sub in a non-alcoholic option for all of your Christmas celebrations and see how you go. And you might, still go out and have a few drinks, but they won't be alcoholic drinks. And so you won't be hungover, and then you won't have anxiety, and you might have a bit more energy, and then you might actually show up and have a good time instead of being stressed out of your brain. And I think for me, I have had Christmases where I have just let it overwhelm me. And this is in sobriety for me too, right? Like, I've done a lot of Christmases sober now, and there have been years where I've just taken on too much because I sometimes feel like I need to be Santa Claus, and I feel like I want it to be so amazing for everyone that I end up having a bad time. Not a bad time, but like I don't end up enjoying it. I actually let it get away from me because I'm so drilled down into the detail. And this all plays into some of the stuff that I've been working on this year in therapy, which is trying to not strive for perfectionism. And that's really hard for me. I'm a kid of that people pleasing generation, and I have a PhD in people pleasing. And when it comes to putting on a Christmas spread, I want it to be the one that everyone talks about, and I'm learning how to reconcile that, and I'm learning how to be okay with, hey, this is going to be okay even if it doesn't make the top five list of best Christmas grazing boards ever or best Christmas grazing tables ever. This is going to be okay. And everyone's going to have a good time because they're here with me and my family, and we're epic, And so I feel like I'm doing a lot of deep reflection in this season. I've got a bit of time off work at the moment, and I'm really using it to just dig deep and just go there with the nitty-gritty stuff, with the work, because that's, that's what this really is all about. Sobriety. Sorry, my mum's texting me. I really should have my phone on silent, but I'm at home, so I kind of forgot to do that. Anyway, Mama Zeets, yeah, I will respond in a minute. Yeah, this season for me really is still, I'm still a work in progress. Hey, 9 years down the track, no booze, still unpacking Pandora's box and still going there with the work, but I feel that's what sobriety is. Sobriety, the longer you sit in it, the less it is about not drinking and the more it is about getting to know yourself and figuring out what healthy boundaries look like and how you can deepen the connection that you have with self and how you can value you for you instead of the other way around, which is how I think we have it. And that is what probably leads us to drink, because there's a real disconnect when we're living outside of that. So I'm on a huge journey right now. I'm sharing it with you. Thank you for listening and letting me vent. And I'm going to, yeah, I'm going to chuck over to my chat with Sarah and Kirsten from Via Drinks. You can check out what they do at viadrinks.com.au. They're wonderful. They're delightful. And my first question was simply about their relationship.
Are you besties?
Yes.
Besties.
We call each other wife.
Wifey. Yeah. I love that. Yes.
Wives. Yes.
Every woman needs a wife.
But we do not tend to say that in front of the husbands or other friends.
No.
You know what? Even though this is a podcast, let's keep it between us. That can be our secret. So how did you guys meet?
Well, we were lucky enough to cross paths through the kids, as you often do. I've got four children and Sarah's got two. So she was smart. No, I won't say that.
You can say it. Yeah. It's okay.
Oh, no.
It was a lot. Six between you is a lot. You're significantly outnumbered when you all hang out together.
Yes, we are. Yeah. And so we both have 15-year-old daughters and 17-year-old sons. And Sarah's husband was the coach of the boys' soccer team.
Yeah.
And our daughters were also the same class at school. So cute. I got to know Sarah from the sides of the soccer field, where she would come and appear very eastern suburbs on the northern beaches in the
amazing
puffer jacket and the massive sunglasses
and not talk to anyone
and I'm
shy
and I was in the throes of having my second batch of children, so very close together again, so I felt very mum in comparison to Sarah, and at a glance, I thought, I don't know how much we have in common. She's looking very pulled together and I'm not feeling that pulled together. But she pursued me. She was persistent. It took a while. She kept asking me out on dates. And
like a real wife.
Yes. Yeah. And eventually we went along and had some one-on-one time. And from there we just kind of seemed to have connected on
many, many levels. Mm. Like not just like the fact that our kids were at the same stage, your older kids were at the same stage as mine and in like the same groups and doing the same things, but also on lots of levels. We got into some very deep. We went very deep very quickly.
She wasn't a shallow Eastern.
not after all.
Do you think, because I find it really challenging to make friends in my 40s. Like I am, even though I have an extroverted aversion to work, as in I communicate for a living, I'm on radio, I do podcasts, like I'm an introvert. And so I really struggle to sort of reach out and like ask people. I get really anxious and nervous. Did you, Sarah, when you were pursuing Kirsten, did you sort of come up against any of that? Because I find that making friends as an adult is harder than what I found it when I was a kid.
Yes, same. And I'm also a very introverted person. I guess there was just some kind of, I must have felt that there was a common ground because I haven't made new friends in a long time, and so it was quite a surprise to everyone that that you could find such a deep connection, you know, in your 40s. So it was, I probably the boundaries were probably on my own personal level, I guess, where I just had to kind of go, well, I think we got a lot in common here, and she's got amazing energy, and definitely had to push myself. And I think also Dan, my husband, he was also telling me about Kirsten's energy and how he thought that we would get on really well. So I was going, okay, I've heard this enough times. Now I'm going to try and make an effort here. And
I'm very, very introverted as well. So for me to accept that invitation, get out of my comfort zone and, you know, like my circle is very small. I can't deal with much more than that. I put my big girl pants on and
add it to the wolf pack.
I love that. And it's a real thing for many women. In, you know, I think when I first took Henry to daycare, it was the first time that I really landed on the identity shift. And it was because somebody, one of the kids was like, oh, that's Henry's mum. And I'm like, no, I'm Maz Compton. And I had this whole like, oh, like I'm Henry's mum. Like I'm mum and I'm mum for the rest of my life to this kid and all of his friends and all, you know. And so it's a real thing to almost have this huge identity shift as a woman, especially somebody who is very ambitious, who's hardworking, who has done the career thing. That was a big shift for me. And I feel like somehow you kind of tapped into it when you mentioned Kirsten, like your world gets small and not necessarily a negative thing, but your world does become really kind of grounded and very routine. And it can be really difficult to want to hang out with somebody new that doesn't know all of the things that you've done in your entire life, because that can be really hard. Like it's friendships can be really hard work.
Yes. I think I find that ourselves and also lots of people that I know kind of in the same age group, they have really made their circles smaller. Not because they're kind of particularly dismissing people, but you have less energy. Your energy goes to your children and your family and your work, and your bubble just, you know, that's for self-preservation, I guess, and to live your most optimum life, I guess.
Yeah, 100%.
It becomes like that for many, many women our age, I think.
And quality for me.
Quality, yeah.
You know, I don't want to have superficial interactions. I'm happy to get real, get deep. And
no small talk.
And that's what I want. I want these authentic connections with
people. Yeah. How much a part of... Because as somebody who hasn't had a drink for 9 years, I sometimes have to be reminded of like how people hang out if they're not sober. I just drinking's just not even it's just not even a thing. Like it's not even a thought. I can hang out at a bar and just forget that there's alcohol there, but I'm that far down my road in my choice not to drink booze, right? But I know for a lot of women in their middle earth, it's very much a part of their social engagement and how they hang out with each other. So what did that look like for you two in your friendship? Was alcohol something that kind of bonded you together at the beginning?
Well, it was definitely that started our journey with Via was, I guess we were doing, it was in lockdown when you were only allowed the one-on-one walks. And I guess it always included either a trip to get a margarita on the way, or we would bring a margarita in a water bottle. And I guess we kind of, or that started the whole conversation, didn't it? Like going, oh, you know, it doesn't feel that great to have a margarita or two every day, like, and went from there. But I don't think we personally didn't need the alcohol to get to know each other. But that normally I will be uncomfortable in a big group or going for a dinner and not be drinking, because it just makes it a bit harder. I guess for me to get out of my introverted, you know, personality.
From memory, I think I had a cup of tea the first time I kind of stepped over the threshold at your place.
Yeah.
But we did then go out for oysters and champagne.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, getting into the mum circles, definitely the wine as an introvert was definitely an icebreaker. And it was expected. It was like we should catch up and have a wine, or I'm gonna come down the road and have a wine. And that, I guess I've got another close local friend, and that's how we got closer and our friendship grew. And that was, I was like, okay, I want to get to know her. I want to spend some more time. So I'm going to ask her for wines more often.
It's interesting that's a look, that's completely normal in our society to catch up for drinks. It's what we do. Yep. But what I find interesting is when you're on a pursuit for a deeper level of connection, you go and hang out with somebody and you drink wine together, and then there's a tipping point where you actually forget everything that kind of happened that night. So essentially you shoot yourself in the foot because you don't get any closer to knowing and understanding that person, because your brain chemistry changes when you drink alcohol. And yep. then there's patchy bits of conversation and you don't quite actually get the connection. So it's funny that the thing that I feel like one of the big myths about alcohol is that it connects us. And I think it completely disconnects us from ourselves and from the people mm-hmm. that we want connection with. Enter the non-alcoholic drinks market, where yeah. we can sit down and still have a drink in our hand, but it doesn't have to have that alcohol level that, you know, when you take the alcohol out of the equation, but you can still sit with someone and have a drink with them. I think that is the problem solve that you guys have stumbled upon with Via. So how did you get from besties to let's start a business together? That's a huge few conversations, I'm sure.
Yes. I think for me, with my journey with alcohol, I reached a point in time where, say, my husband and I, we started another business and had two more children very close together, and I couldn't actually afford alcohol. You know, we had a very strict grocery budget. I couldn't afford it, couldn't afford the dinners out and things like that. And so that then led me, when I was able to reintroduce it again, to notice the impact and the negative impact it had on my mental health. And I also had some postnatal depression, so my mental health was really important. Having energy, being able to be there, super protective of it. So when I've, you know, made that connection between alcohol and feeling crap for a few days and not functioning, I've developed this massive handbrake, and I become a really strong guardian of my mental health. And I think Sarah noticed that a lot in our friendship. And I think that then kind of shines a light on your own alcohol consumption and,
absolutely,
you know, how that was affecting yourself.
Yeah, 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 and also on a kind of a physical level, that, you know, it's not like when you're 20 and you can have three big nights a week, but here you would have a, you know, just a dinner out and with friends and end up having too much to drink and then feel really, you know, unwell, not just, you know, mentally and physically for several days afterwards. And that was just not a price you were really prepared to pay, I guess. And then in the lockdown,
the green juices.
Yeah, we were. Well, I guess that in lockdown, lots of people were having too much to drink, and that actually, for me personally, made me kind of go, this is making me feel really not great, and start experimenting with non-alcoholic drinks. And that was the first time. I've just never been on the radar before. You know, you'd more be thinking, oh, I'm just gonna drink water this week, or you know, never go and try non-alcoholic wine or anything like that. But started experimenting with that, and there's some really good options out there, some really, really bad options, lots of really bad options and a few really, really good ones. And I guess I found some brands that I really liked, and me and my husband were doing these cocktails, non-alcoholic cocktails that were really, they felt potent and they were delicious. And I just remember one night in the having two of those non-alcoholic cocktails and turning around in the kitchen, I was cooking, and then just had this signal in my brain going, okay, you had these two cocktails. What? Where's the thing? Where's the buzz? Where's the, you know,
the mellow,
the whole, you know, that thing you get from your first drink or two. And my brain was recognizing that there was a disconnect between having that cocktail, having that experience, having that, anticipation, and then nothing happening in that sense. And then at the same time, Kirsten and I were enthusiastically comparing Green Juice notes that we were having every morning, and we were having like a shared kind of note thing that went back and forth, and there was lots of adaptogens in there, ashwagandha and wayusa and maca powder, all these things that in fact give you that buzz. So that was just a conversation about, oh, why don't those things, why don't we combine those things? And because you really, I mean, if I don't know if you've ever tried to have just a shot of maca powder, like in a little bit of water or juice or something, it's incredible. It's incredibly potent. All those other ingredients, we had loads and loads of things in there. It was, when it was a green juice, it was more like a brown juice because we put so many things in
there.
But then started, you know, really looking into that, and we bought like a home distillery. And the family, they were really behind it. They were going, okay, we're going to clear this area and then you can put up your home distillery. And then we started looking into it, and we very, very quickly realized that that was like a myth, that you can start doing things like that at home.
Where do you buy a home distillery? From eBay?
Going to these specialists for like hours at a time, and ended up buying this one. You talk about what I needed to do, and then obviously getting more into, never been in the food and beverage industry before, and then understanding all the food safety measures and legalities of producing anything that's ever going to be able to, you know, to be used for public consumption. And that home distillery got returned, thankfully.
Yes.
Did you get your money back?
We got the money back because we haven't used it.
Not all of it.
No, rightly so,
because you did spend a bit of time chatting to him. So.
Yeah. They were very helpful, and understood our quandary.
Oh, that's funny.
Do this. Let's
go
consult experts. Yeah. And let's outsource. Like, I don't, from my business experience, and my husband's business has so many overheads and machinery. And let's be smart about this. And we talked a lot about whether we should do it or not. And I was excited about it. I wanted to be a part of a movement offering alternatives to alcohol that are better for you. You know, having teenagers was really important, that, you know, it felt really purpose-driven for me. And it got to the point where weighing up, if I do it, if I don't, what am I going to get out of it? I'm going to get so much out of it.
Yeah.
What am I going to lose? Not a lot, whatever I'm prepared to put in financially. So it got to the point where it was like, yes, okay, I'm, and that work-life balance, I've already got a job and four kids. Like, am I being.
That doesn't sound balanced, Kirsten.
No.
That's the opposite of balance.
And autonomy. And do I really want to go and do this? But yes, because it's my husband's business.
And you were like, you didn't want, we had to really talk about the hours that needed to go in. And, Kirsten was like, well, I need to have this time with the kids. And I can't do like a 9 to 5, 7 days, you know, 5 days a week. And that's cool, because now we just do 14 hours, 7 days a week. So that's fine.
No biggie.
No biggie.
No big deal.
But you love it. You get very passionate about it. Everything else, and then the investments and everything has obviously been turned into something much, much bigger. The business has turned much bigger, much quicker than we realized, because we've got this whole movement, this whole lifestyle change all over the world that is just happening, and it's not a fad. It's not going to go away next year because people are getting smarter.
And it's not a trend. Sobriety, and I know sobriety for some people as a term is difficult for them to wrap their heads around, because I think for a lot of people, sobriety is this idea that you're not allowed to drink alcohol anymore because you go completely bonkers when you drink too much alcohol. So your punishment now is that you're never allowed to drink alcohol again. I think a lot of people have that narrative about sobriety, and that is absolutely untrue and unfair. And I think choosing to have a life where you can moderate or you cannot have alcohol at all is a great choice. And having options is yes. really cool too. And that's why I really love what you guys have done. And it whether it was calculated or not, you've landed in this era where we're turning the ferry around on alcohol and people are understanding how bad it is for us. The negative impacts on our well-being, our relationships, there are zero benefits. And so we all want to hang out and we all want to drink fancy drinks in the sun. That's not going to go away. But if you can put a different drink in a beautiful glass and give people that great feeling without the poison and the toxicity of alcohol, I feel like that has problem solved a big issue for a lot of people.
And it has to taste good. And I think that people like I know that from myself, and you will certainly know that as well, Kirsten, is that when you the less you drink, the more that couple of glasses of wine you might have at a special occasion, the more it impacts you. You can, you know, that would even, whereas before you could maybe have double that and not even feel a thing. Whereas if you, the less you have, the more impacted you get on the negative side.
Mm.
Yeah.
100%. Kirsten, you said something before, and I just want to circle back to it quickly because I absolutely love the turn of phrase that you used when you said you wanted to be the guardian of your mental health. That is such a powerful way to frame self-care and looking after our mental well-being. And I just wanted to say, like, I haven't heard that term before, but that's something that I'm taking out of this conversation. When I think about, and look, we do, I feel like mental health is now a thing that we look at as a health thing where we're like, we need to look after what's going on in our brain and what thoughts are we having, and alcohol in our brain is such a huge thing. But to take ownership of that space and go, I'm the guardian of my mental health, and as the guardian, appointed guardian, this isn't working for my mental health, I think that's a really nice way of looking at it. So thank you for that.
Ah, you're welcome. You're welcome.
And so with Via.
As a handbrake then.
Pardon?
Maybe I shouldn't refer to it as a handbrake then.
That's good too.
Well, look, that conjures up a different image, but same result, right?
Yeah.
with Via, was it intentional? Did you intentionally set out to solve a problem for women in their midlife who want to hang out together? Or is that just kind of where you've landed with the business?
Look, I think that it was a very personal project, very personal business that just seems to, you know, I guess that we are just part of a very, very big group of people in this category that are seeking the same things. So by addressing our personal kind of goals for this business, like even in the flavors we have chosen, that's a very personal thing. Obviously, we did lots of research, but it really went down to our own personal flavors that we have. I guess we have hit on a problem that is or an issue that is important to a lot of women and men, as it turns out, in our age group. And I think that's how it happened, that we are kind of just a representation of what's going on in this time in your life.
And wanting an adult drink that's not alcoholic to be part of the rituals, whatever that ritual is, whether it's your own personal unwind, keeping sane while you're getting dinner ready, or it's going to a wedding, 40th, you know, just really being high quality, better for you alternative to alcohol. And for the individual to, you know, we're not preaching, because, you know, lifestyles look different for everybody. It's, you know, wanting to respect that as well.
For me, what your drinks range has done is it's allowed me to sit in a room and cheers everybody with a wine glass in my hand again. And I haven't really had that because for so long I've just had water. Like that's just my vibe. And look, I don't go out a ton. I'm like a massive introvert. You will find me mostly Friday nights on a couch chilling out. Like that's my, but if there are occasions, you know, friends of mine, are getting married. And again, second marriages are happening in this season of life. And my friends are having babies in their 40s. And so there's lots of reasons to celebrate, and there are lots of reasons to connect and to be social with people. And that the idea of the cheers doesn't get robbed in sobriety because of things like this. And I love that. So, you know, and it, like you said, that whole adult drink thing for so long, I mean, 9 years ago when I stopped drinking, ladies, it was basically Lambrusco or bust. Like there was nothing going on in the non-alcoholic drinks space. So I really did get sober on sparkling water with fresh lemon and a bit of kombucha. But now it's nice to know that there are those options where you don't have to change your whole afternoon habit. If you walk in the door and kick off your heels and have a wine, you can walk in the door and kick off your heels and have something that's not wine but still feels like wine but is just not going to damage your brain or increase your cancer risk or whatever, right? And I think that is such a great narrative for people to understand.
Yes, like we really want to try and keep the celebration in it. Like I love how, like, for example, last night we were sending each other, like,
we were sharing,
I was guessing what I had for dinner and then had a picture of me having to be, this is like, we talk like, I don't know, 25 times a day, but, and maybe more, and pictures, and just sending her a picture of, we were having duck pancakes and I was going pairs perfectly with a brute and had a glass and sending that across, you know, as my own little celebration at home. Me and my husband had the brute, and two sent back, and you were going snap, having the same one. And what did you have it with? Not with the dog pancakes, with something else. And that was like, you know, something you might have done a couple of years ago with your wine.
Totally.
Your champagne. But here you do it with your. You're going, this is a beautiful pairing with this, and you know, I just feel that we have for ourselves, and hopefully for the people that enjoy. The non-alcoholic that you reach the goal of having an alternative that doesn't even make you think that you are not having a celebratory drink or something that really pairs well with your food, or you know, it just slips right in as your perfect alternative and you won't think about it.
Absolutely. Well done to the both of you. Not many friendships survive friendship alone, let alone business. So there is a huge testament there to your relationship. I think it's quite remarkable. If I had to work with my best friend, her and I would literally kill each other within minutes. So that's why we don't work together. And we live on the other side of the world from each other too. She lives in Chicago. So how convenient is that?
Yeah.
But thank you. Thank you for your time. And I value what you guys do. And I think it's a great option for people who want to take a break or who want to mix it up or who want to, you know, tap out of that drinking habituation that they've fallen into every day. I think it's a great little first step in the right direction. And being sober doesn't mean punishing yourself for the rest of your life. Being sober is about creating a life that you don't need to escape. And I think your product helps people do that.
Oh, thank you, Mass.
Thank you.
Not lovely talking to you.
You too, ladies.
We'll see you around soon.
Thanks for listening. Make sure you click follow so you don't miss an episode. New episodes are published every Monday. You can follow us on TikTok at Last Drinks or catch up with me on Instagram at Maz Compton. Stay curious.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.